We're holding on today's daf would be Mem Dalet, which would be Mem Hey, but we might as well start from the beginning of the Perek on Mem Dalet on the days. So Mem Dalet on the days, the new Perek. So now, until now, we talked about in the previous Perek that there are three cases in the Torah where a person has to swear, that all of them are swearing to be potter, as we're going to talk about in the Gemara. And then Midrabanan, we have a number of cases where a person can swear in order to collect. Now, we already touched on some such cases in the previous Perek, but now we're going to focus on that. So the Mishnah says, Kol nishboin shibatorah, nishboin v'loy mishalmin. Anytime in the Torah, when it says a person has to swear, and we discussed so far, there were three such cases. A shvur of a shomer, which it says clearly in the pasuk, moed b'mikzas, which we learn from Pesukim, and where there's one aid, where also we learn from Pesukim that in all those three cases he has to swear. So all of those, and shvurin b'le mishalmin, all of those, the shvur is to patter him from paying. So the person who would have otherwise been chayev is swearing, and therefore he's patter from paying. The elun shvurin v'notlin. Now, then you have the following, we make a takona, as we'll see with each one of them in the Gemara, the purpose of it, that they can swear and they can collect on that basis. They are as follows, hasachir, and we're going to go through, the Mishnah is just going to list them now, and then it's going to go through and explain the basic scenario with each one, and then of course the Gemara will go into more details. The first one is hasachir, a worker who claims that he hasn't been paid. V'hanigzal, someone who claims that he's been robbed. V'hanechbal, or injured. V'shekenegdei choshed al shvur, or where the opposite, where his opponent in Beis Din is suspect about a false shvur. V'chenmini al pinkasei, and the fifth one is a storekeeper who's going over his account books and claims, as we're going to see later on in the Mishnah, that he gave some goods and didn't receive payment for them. Tosfos points out there are other cases as well. For example, in the previous paragraph, we have the case where Reuven had lent Shimon money using a mashkin, and then the mashkin gets lost. And we talked about there are cases where we said there are cases where the malva swears how much the mashkin is worth, and then he collects the remainder of the debt. There's a case over there we said where the loiva swears how much it was worth and then collects the rest of it. Another case. There are other cases as well. So Tosfos first answers that the Mishnah is listing only cases where the one who's not swearing is not roy to swear at all. In other words, for example, when we have the fourth case of it here was Shekineg Nechoshed al Shvur, where one of them is suspect on a Shvur, means just that. In other words, like this, normally it would be, let's say, Shimon is the Shomer and he would have to swear. However, he's suspect of swearing falsely, so therefore we can't allow him to take a Shvur, and instead we put it on Reuven, and then Reuven collects on that basis. And similarly, with each of the other examples that we're mentioning in the Mishnah, would be something along those lines where we're going to see, for example, as far as the hired worker, we're going to see in the Gemara why it is that the employer can't swear that he paid him and be potter. Instead, in other words, the case is that it's impossible for him to swear for reasons that we're going to see in the Gemara, and therefore the worker swears and so forth with all the other ones, as opposed to, for example, the case of the mashkin from the previous parak is not that the one of them is incapable of swearing, but the Chacham made a particular takana that in that case that the Malva should swear, or at least that he should swear first, in order that then the Loiva doesn't swear to the amount, how much the Mashkin was worth, and then he gets contradicted when the Malva pulls out the Mashkin. So that's why the Mishnah doesn't list other such cases. And then the Rosh gives a different answer that the Mishnah is only talking about where there's a special Takonas Fachamim, where without the Takona they wouldn't get their money at all, as opposed to other cases, one second. So, So the Mishnah starts by listing the cases. Hasachar Ketzad. What do we mean in the case of a hired worker? What is the scenario? Omalai Teni Schori Shiyesh L'Yoncha. So the worker says, "Give me my payment. You owe me my payment." Who I'm an asati, and the employer says, "I paid you." And the employer says, he says, "I paid." The other one says, I didn't receive anything. Who nishba v'noito? So then the worker swears and collects. Rabbi Yehuda says no. Ad shepesham mitzas haydar. Rabbi Yehuda says no, not unless there's a little bit of haydar. In other words, it has to at least be that. Rabbi Yehuda is going to say when are the chachamim are going to create this concept of a shvua for a socher, and all these other cases has to be that there's at least some kind of admission. So at least it'll be similar to the case of moed b'mitzas. So say, for example, the worker says, give me the 50 dinner that you owe me, and the employer says, it's kabbalt a dinner zahav, you already received one gold dinner, which is equal to 25 silver dinner, so in other words, I paid you half of what I owe you. Or not half, or at least exactly, we just mean some percentage. Then Rabbi Yehuda says, since you already have moed b'mitzas over there, so fine. Midaraisa at that point, the boss, if anything, would have to swear that he hadn't paid the rest in Bipotter. So Rabbi Yehuda says, fine, in that case then, instead we're going to have a Tachonis Fahamim that the employee can swear and collect the rest of it, but not to go so far as where there wouldn't have been a Shavua Daraisa at all, to now create a Shavua and have the worker swear. Rabbi Yehuda says you can't do that. So that's the first case. Tosfos, by the way, gets into an interesting discussion over here, whether a gold dinner is, how is a gold dinner worth 25 silver dinner, when in their times the ratio of value of gold to silver was about 10 to 1 or 12 to 1. 10 to 1 over here, Tosfos says, in other places they say 12 to 1. And the gist of the answer is that gold dinarim was thicker than silver dinarim, so of course they had more metal and then they had more weight to them. But then Tosfos goes on to discuss certain details about the ratio of gold to silver and what we find in different places in Shas about that. Okay, in any case, so the point is, the Tanakhama is saying that regardless whether the employee is saying, I didn't receive anything at all, or whether he's saying, I received part of it, either way, he can swear it, he can collect, whereas the Chachamim are disagreeing, that's according to the Chachamim, whereas according to the Yehuda, it has to be that there was murder in Mektas. Next. Nigzal Ketzad, what is the case where a person says he was robbed? You have Edim that see that Shimon came into Reuven's house to take a mashkin from him without permission, and without permission of Beis Din either. Now you have like this, So we talked about in the previous parak, we mentioned the point that there's a difference between taking a mashkin b'shas halva and shaloi b'shas halva at the time of the loan versus not. So now we're talking about he hadn't taken a mashkin b'shas halva, he's taking one only later on, and so now, at least he's supposed to get permission from Beis Din, and then he himself is not allowed. The Torah says he's not allowed to go into the other guy's house to take the mashkin. It's supposed to be now that, it's supposed to be that he waits outside, and even the Shliach Beis Din is supposed to wait outside, and the loiva will bring him out something. In this case, he himself went in illegally without the permission of Beis Din, So it would apply to Tiferes Yisrael, and the Mishnah points out this din that we're going to say now would apply all the more so if he just goes in stam in order to steal. But here we're talking about even he can claim that he has some justification for going in, namely the other guy owes him money, etc. Nevertheless, since the Torah says he's not allowed to go in, then it's tantamount to him stealing. Anyway, hu oima kelai natalta. So now, later on, the balabas says, you took my kelim, v'hu oima loy natalti, and the other guy says, I did not take. So again, hu nishba v'noto. Now the balabas will swear and collect what he's claiming, as we're going to, because after all, we have Edim that he did go in there, and we have Edim that he took something out. We're going to see in the Gemara, we're talking about the Edim saw that he took something out, they just don't know what it was. If they knew what it was, obviously, then he just gives that back, and that's that. So we have to be talking about where they know he went in there, they know he took something, but they don't know what. So then that would be another case where the Chachamim made a takana, that the Nigzal now will swear and collect. And again, Rabbi Yehuda Omar, Shteisha Mitzah Seidar, Rabbi Yehuda says only if there's a partial admission, Ketzer Omalish Nekelim Mataltav, Omalon Natalti Alechad. So really, the Balabas says you took two Kalim, and the guy who went in says, no, I only took one. Then there's a Moedim Mitzah. So then Rabbi Yehuda says that would be the case where we're going to make him, where we can have him swear and be able to collect, but not if it was completely kofer hakol. Okay. The next case is nechbal ketzad. What is the case of someone who was injured? If there were edim that Reuven went into Shimon's house whole uninjured, the yotzah chovel, and he went out of there injured. So it seems obvious that Shimon did it, but there's a claim and a counterclaim. The Amalek chaval to me, so Reuven says to Shimon, you injured me, and therefore you owe me nezek and tzar and so forth. And Shimon says, I didn't. Then also this would be a case where the Chachamim made a takana that he can swear and collect the appropriate amounts. Obviously you have to deal with the concern that he might have injured himself and then it's trying to blame the other guy. We're going to see in the Gemara how we deal with that matter. Anyway, again, Rabbi Yehuda Omar Shteisha Mitzah Seidah. Again, Rabbi Yehuda says there has to be at least a partial Haidah over there. Take that Omalek Chaval to be Shtayim, namely that Reuven says you injured me twice. And then two different parts of my body or whatever, and therefore you owe me two payments. V'aloy Omalek Chaval to b'chala achas. And should it say I hit you only in one place, so then there's a Hodav Mitzvah, so then Rabbi Hoda is going to say, then the Chachamim created the Shvur, but otherwise not. Next, the fourth case, Shekinegve Choshed Al HaShvur Ketzad. What do we mean the case where a person is suspect about a Shvur, he's suspect of swearing falsely? So any kind of shvur that we're talking about, achas shvur se'edus, whether he's previously done a false shvur se'edus, as we learned earlier in the Masechta, the achas shvur se'pikodin, or whether previously he's done a shvur se'pikodin falsely, the achas v'afilu shvur shav, or even if all he did up until this point was a shvur shav. Now the point is shvur se'edus and shvur se'pikodin are bein adam l'chaveiro. There's a component involving the other person. A shvur shav is only between him and Hashem. You would think maybe it's not such a problem. Nevertheless, we're still saying there's still concern that he might swear falsely now also. So now he can't swear. So instead, now midaraisa, we would say, well, nothing can be done. But midarabanan, instead we flip the shvur, as we talked about in the previous perek about flipping the shvur. So now we flip it to the other person, and instead of, for example, Shimon swearing that he's potter swearing that the thing was stolen in the case of the kodin, for example, that he didn't owe the money in the case of Modiv Mitzas or whatever, and being potter instead the other party swears and collects on that basis. Similarly, if one of them was posel edus, even midrabanan, for example, he was a gambler, and as we learned in Sanhedrin, there's a couple of reasons why a gambler is posel la'edus and l'shavua, whether because we consider gambling itself to be a form of stealing because it's asmachta, or whether we just say because we're talking about a person who makes his living from gambling, so therefore he's not contributing anything useful to the world. Or malva beribis, or a person who lends with ribis, or machriche yonim, or people who make pigeons fly, which again we learned in Sanhedrin, two possibilities what that means. It can mean that they race pigeons and then bet money on it, in which case it's the same, in which case it's another form of gambling, or it can mean that they use their pigeons to lure away other people's pigeons, which is considered stealing midrabanan, midaraisa not, because they don't really have much control over the pigeons. They come and go as they please, but midrabanan would still be considered a, form of stealing. So all those cases with circular shvius, or people who do business with payrus shvius, whereas we learned in Sanhedrin, was relevant in Sanhedrin. As we learned in Sanhedrin, that we're talking about people who, like, they don't do anything useful the rest of the years, and all of a sudden comes Shemitah, they're selling fruit. So it seems fairly obvious that they're selling, what they're selling is Shemitah fruit. So in all those cases, then, so we can't trust him to, we can't trust him to swear, so therefore instead we have to make the other person swear, and therefore, so that's what we do. The Mishnah continues, Hayu Shnehen Chashudin, what if both of them are suspect, then Chazra Shvulim Akoyma, then the Shvur returns to its place, give it Rabbi Yossi. That's what Rabbi Yossi says, what it means to its place, we'll see in the Gemara. Rabbi Meir says they divide, meaning in other words, he pays half of the claim. So that's the case of Choshed al Ashur. Mishnah continues with another case. We said a storekeeper with his notebook. So what do we mean by that? We don't mean where the storekeeper just says, I have a valid reason to allow him to swear and therefore to collect. Ella, no, we're talking about Omer. We're talking about that the Balabais, to begin with, said to the storekeeper, Sayim Chitin, give my son 2 saw of wheat. So that could mean, in other words, give him 2 saw in advance and I'll pay you later on. Or it can mean, for example, I need 2 saw of wheat, so I'm sending my son as a shliach for that. Or it could mean that he's saying that I owe him some wheat, so I want you to pay him and then I'll pay you back. Or he says, ten lapoli selamoi. So he says, or he says, give my worker a seller's worth of money or a seller's worth of goods or whatever. Same idea. In other words, I owe him X amount. So now I'm gonna refer him to you, and you'll pay him, and then later on I'll reimburse you. So now who oimer nasati? So now the storekeeper later on says, I gave it to them, just as you said. Meanwhile, the workers or the son say we didn't receive anything. So now, for example, so let's say in the case of the workers, for example, so the Balabais owed the worker $100. So he told them, I've opened a line of credit for you at the store. Go get $100 worth of groceries. Now, later on, they claim we haven't received it yet. You still owe us $100. Meanwhile, the storekeeper says, I have it written in my notebook that I gave them $100 worth. So that would be the case. So who nishba v'noitel? So the storekeeper swears and collects. And the workers also swear and collect. We're going to see in the Gemara the details about that. They swear in each other's presence, and we're going to see in the Gemara all the details of that particular story. Bananas says, what are you talking about? How can it be that both of them are going to come to a Shavuot Shav? Namely, in other words, you're going to have, the fact is, one of them, of necessity, is swearing falsely. Either they received it or they didn't. It can't possibly, both Shavuot cannot possibly be true. So therefore, so how could you make a Shavuot? But in that case, and it would be like a bazillion to a Shavuot. Rather says the nanas, both of them collect without a shvua, because we don't want to have a shvua that's going to end up being false. So therefore, so the nanas says, let's have them both collect without a shvua, and it's the balabais' fault for not making sure that things were done properly. So that's the case of Chanvani Yalpin Kosei. Okay, the Mishnah continues. Here's another case, also involving a storekeeper and a balabais. Here's another case. The person says to a storekeeper, give me a dinar's worth of produce. The nasan loy, the storekeeper gives him, but omaloy, and now he tells him, okay, well, I gave you the produce, tenly is the tenly, or it's the dinar. So give me the dinar. Omaloy, so the balabais says, nasativ laha, runasativ unfuli. He says, I already gave you the dinner, and you put it into your purse. So unlike in the previous case, where the storekeeper claims that he didn't give anything at all, here it's the other way around. The storekeeper says, I did give you the payrus, and they both mutually agree that he gave him the payrus. The question is just whether he paid him. The balabais claims he already paid him, and you already put the money in your purse, or your cash register, or whatever, and the storekeeper is saying, I didn't receive it. So then you shove a balabais, you're not supposed to dinner. So now that would turn the next. So in that kind of case, the balabais would swear that he gave him the dinner. But the other way around, omaloi, but if the balabais says tenli as a peiros, if the argument is whether he even gave him the peiros, omaloi nasativ l'chov ha'lachtam l'sov beisva, and the storekeeper says, I already gave you the peiros, and you took them home, yishov ha'chenveni, then that would be another case where the storekeeper gets to swear that he gave the payrus. And then, so in the first case then, so again, in the first case, they agree that the payrus were delivered. The question is just whether the money was paid. So now the balabais, so these are ordinary cases of swearing and being potter. We're just mentioning these would be cases. These are not necessarily cases where the person is high of a shavur. Only where this is not necessarily one of these cases of nishba v'noito, because here we're not talking about that a person swears and collects. He would have to the previous case where a person swears in his potter. But the point is, in other words, having mentioned the case of the storekeeper, so we're mentioning these cases as well where he swears and his potter. What kind of shavua would be in this case, in these kinds of cases, where after all it is koifa hakol and the raisa would be no shavua at all? So there's a question whether it would be a shavua d'rabanan ke'ein shel Torah, meaning that we would treat it with basically the severity of a shavua of the Torah, and they can take it b'nekid aschef that's holding a sefer Torah or tefillin or all that, or whether or not that there's a discussion among Rishonim about that point. Okay, in any case, the point is, so again, you have two possibilities. You can have where the balabais agrees that he received the payrus but claims that he paid, and the storekeeper is denying that and saying I didn't receive the payment. Or you could have the other way around, where the balabais denies having received the payrus in the first place. So in either case, we're saying therefore that they can swear and be potter from paying or delivering the payrus, as the case may be. But Rabbi Yehuda says, no, it's not so simple. Kol shah payrus b'yada, yada al yona. Rabbi Yehuda says, whichever one has the payrus in his possession is the one with the upper hand. In other words, because Rabbi Yehuda says, listen, you're a storekeeper. You're not necessarily going to give the payrus in advance until you receive payment. So therefore, if you're saying that you delivered the payrus, and the other one is saying, and the other one agrees that he received them, and you're saying you didn't receive the money, then you have very strong reason to say that that's not how it works. You wouldn't have delivered the payrus unless you got the money. So therefore, so now the balabais has the payrus in his hands, then it's much more likely that he paid already. So therefore, so Rabbi Yehuda would say, if the balabais already has the payrus in his possession, then that means that we believe him and he doesn't have to swear. And vice versa, if the chenveni, if the storekeeper still has the payrus, and the balabais is saying, I didn't receive him, then the chenveni has the upper hand, and he could swear that there was never anything here yet, and therefore, that's in other words, that he didn't already receive the money. Okay. A similar case involving money changers. Omar l'shulchani, person says to a money changer, "Kenli b'dinner mois, give me a dinner's worth of small change." The money changer gives him the small change. V'omaloi tenli as a dinner, and he says, "Now give me the dinner." Amalai in the Balabai says Nisati Blachai, but he gave it to you in Nisati Bunpuli, and you put it into your money bag. Same thing. You show the Balabai swears that he paid him the dinner and he's potter. Nosamlai said dinner, but if it was the other way around, Balabai gave him the dinner. But Amalai temli asamlois, and now he says, give me the money. Amalai says Nisati Mlachavi, Shlachtim Lasabi, Shlachtim Lasa Kiska, I gave it to you and you already put it in your money bag. Unpali actually is more so unpali is more like the kind of things like the equivalent of the cash register in those times, whereas a kiss would just be an ordinary pocket or money bag or something. The storekeeper, the shulchani, who deals a lot back and forth with coins, is going to have an unpali, is going to have an actual thing that's meant for this purpose of holding money, whereas a kiss is just going to be an ordinary money bag. Anyway, same idea. Yishavah shulchani. The shulchani will swear that he didn't get the money yet, that he already gave the change in return for the dinner, and he'll be potter. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, and again, Rabbi Yehuda disagrees and says, ain't derech shulchani. Listen, isser ad sheyitol dinner. It's not normal for a money changer to give the isser, to give the small change, until he receives the dinner, and therefore we have much stronger reason to say that if he hadn't received the dinner yet, but had already given the small change, it's much more likely that it's not so, and that in fact he did receive the small change, and vice versa. Now, why it needs to mention it in both these cases, both as far as payrus and as far as money, the Gemara is going to explain. There's a chiddush with. In other words, because with payrus, yeah, the fact is sometimes you will sell payrus on credit, but it's highly unlikely to give change on credit like that. So maybe the Chacham would agree with Rabbi Yehuda. And then on the other hand, if you only have the case of the money changer, then you would say that maybe Rabbi Yehuda says it's dinner only there and not by the storekeeper. So therefore, we need to tell them both places. Either way, the halacha is like the Chachamim. So therefore, so no, we have the basic din of the Mishnah. That if one of them says, the storekeeper says, I delivered the payrus and didn't get paid yet, or vice versa, the balabai says, I already paid and I didn't receive the goods yet. Either way, then it doesn't matter who has the payrus in his possession right now. We're still going to say that the one who's making the claim is going to be able to swear and collect, say the chacham, and that's the halacha. Okay. The Mishnah continues. Here's more cases of a shavua. Here's more cases where a person has to take a shavua in based in. Kishem Sha'amru. Now, just as the Chachamim said in a Mishnah in Masechta Ksuvos, a pegemes ksubasa, when a woman says that she's been partially paid her ksuba, and therefore that her ksuba is, so to speak, flawed, pegemes, and washing pegam. So in other words, the ksuba says, let's say, for example, that her ksuba was a thousand zuz, and she says, I already previously received 500 of it, and I have 500 left to go. So that's called pegemes in the sense that she's saying, this that it says in this ksuba over here, that I'm owed 1,000 is flawed because in fact I'm not owed the full 1,000 anymore. So just as in that case the Chacham say Masechta Ksubos, like the part of El B'Shavua, to collect the rest she would have to take a Shavua because now the Shtar doesn't completely back her up anymore because the Shtar says after all 1,000 and she's saying that she's only owed 500. So, and the Eidach and Me'idah she cruelly to part out of the Shavua, the same way if there's one aid that she was paid off and she's denying it, then she has to collect only with a Shavua. And another case, Minachosim Shabbadim. So all of these, so it's the same way as, the same way as Pergemas Ksubasa, she has to swear, the same way the rest of these cases also, there's a similarity where she has to swear. The Eidach and Me'idah she cruelly to part out of the Shavua, where there's one aid that she was paid, she can collect the Ksuba only with a Shavua. And another case, Minachosim Shabbadim, if she wants to collect that Ksuba from Minachosim Shabbadim, from third party property, or Minichsi Yisomim, if she wants to collect from the property of Yisomim, the same way later part out of the Shavua. The same way she can collect only with a shavua. So now, other cases, v'anifras shalei b'fanav, another case would be where she's getting paid We're going to see, actually, in the Gemara. Now, of course, when she's collecting her ksuba, usually it's from the Yisraelim, because usually it's after her husband died. So we're going to see in the Gemara, then we're going to see in the Gemara eventually that what the Dasmem Ches, what exactly the case is of talking about collecting from Yisraelim. As it is, anyway, when you collect from Yisraelim, you usually have to take a shavua anyhow. So we're going to see the details of the scenario in the Gemara. Anyway, so similarly, similarly, if she's getting paid, not in the presence of her husband. So Rashi describes, let's say he sent a get from overseas, so now she's received a get, now she's entitled to her ksuba, but he's not around to actually collect directly from him. So the same way, like you part of a shvur, she can collect only with a shvur. The chain, and similarly, the same way Yisomim, who are going to collect a choiv on behalf that was owed to their father, the same way Yiporu Elav Shvur, the same way they have to take a Shvur in order to collect. Now, what Shvur do they take? Unlike all the other previous cases, where she can swear definitively, she can say a Tainas Bari, I didn't receive my Ksuba, or I didn't receive all of it, or whatever, here the Yisomim on the face of it can't say, can't make a definite shvur that their father was owed this money. So how do they do that? So therefore what they swear is shvur shlep gadonu abba. They make shvur that our father did not give us instructions before he died. That he already pulled in other words like this. He still has the shtar. So we would assume that if he still has the shtar, means he's still owed the money. So he didn't tell us otherwise before he died. But shlep omalonu abba. Or he didn't just tell us without even giving us specific instructions. He didn't tell us that this document was paid off. We also didn't find among our father's documents any receipt or anything showing that this note has been paid off. So in all those cases, then we're saying that they would have to take, that is the shvur that they would have to take in order to, that triple shvur, in order to be able to collect on the debt. So now the Ramban explains basically, in other words, when it comes to a ksuba, the same way, for example, as when she's saying, I already got paid off the ksuba partially, or there was one aid, etc. So now the same thing would apply to the Yisomim, plus also this case of, in general, when the Yisomim are coming to collect, they also have to take a shavur. Rabbi Yechon ben Berakah says no. Actually, what it is so now. So the Tanakhama was saying basically that the Yisomim have to take the shvur, meaning in other words, they themselves may have already been adults when their father died, and they still have to take the shvur. Rabbi Yechon ben Berakah Omer. In other words, the implication would be, but if they were children at the time, how could they take that shvur? How could they say that our father didn't give us instructions? They were ketanim. You could say, well, of course your father didn't give you instructions. You're little kids. How could he give you instructions? Rabbi Yechon ben Berakah says it doesn't matter. Even if the son was born after the father died, we still don't say that he can collect without a shvur. Nevertheless, Harei Zeh Nishba V'Noitzo, he can still swear and collect, and he still has to swear, and so he can't swear that Shelo Pekodno Abba, because obviously there's no time for the father to have given him instructions, but at least he can swear that he didn't find a receipt showing that this thing was paid. Omer of Shimon Gamliel, Rav Shimon Gamliel further says in this connection, if there were edim that the father said before he died that the shtar is not paid off, then the yosim, the yodish, can collect without a shvur. Because he's going to say, in other words, since we have edim that the father said it's not paid off, and we're not going to assume that he's playing tricks when he's about to die. The Tanakhama might say, though, that as we learned in Baba Basra, a concept called Odom Osir Shalolas V.S. Vonav, a person may want to pretend that his children are not rich. So therefore, Tosfos talks about this later on. So Tosfos printed later on Memchesim and Beis that goes back to our Mishnah. So he might have been saying that Shimon Las V.S. Vonav, so therefore, he wants to make them look like they're rich in order that people will consider them important. So therefore, he pretends as though the shtar was not paid off, but really it was paid off, and therefore the Chachamim say against Reb Shimon Gamliel that the Yisomim are still going to have to swear the relevant shul. Okay. The Mishnah continues, now, up until now, we've been talking about there is a taina involved. So, for example, the worker has a taina, you didn't pay me yet. The storekeeper has a taina, you didn't pay me for the goods that I gave your son or your workers or whatever. And the same way each of the other ones. So all of those involved, there was a taina, and then the response to that taina is, fine, and then the response to that taina is that I deny it, and therefore the Chachamim are saying that the one who's making the taina is able to swear and collect, plus of course you have the other cases that we talked about until now where there's a shvur daraisa and the one who's being claimed of the nitba, the plaintiff, swears and is potter. So now the Mishnah continues, even shvur and shaloi b'taina, the following people have to swear even when there's no taina. And we're going to see, what does that mean? There's no taina at all. We're going to see in the Gemara what we're going to see in the Gemara. We mean that there's no taina body, but there is a taina suffix. So our shutvin partners, Vahad, people who previously had a partnership, and now the partnership has broken up. Vahad Risin, or Arisin, sharecroppers, Vahapotrupin, and trustees, where you have trustees who have a person appoints a trustee to manage his household budget, or his business, or whatever. Or wife whose husband appointed her as the one to run the finances of the household. Or ben abayis, or a member of the household, meaning in other words, one of the brothers who's in charge of running the entire estate. So what do we mean? Omaloi. So now, in other words, so what happens is, in all those cases, omaloi. So for example, this partner or this artist or whatever says, mata taineni, what exactly is your claim against me? What do you want from me? And the other one answers, tsani shiti shavali. I want you to swear to me that you didn't take money illegally during the time that you were the artist or the administrator or whatever. Chayev, then he would be chayev to swear. We're going to see in the Gemara what the exact scenario is. In other words, again, we're talking about a tainas shema. So, for example, the case of the shutvin. So you have Reuven and Shimon at one point had a partnership. Now, and later on, after they've broken up the partnership, Reuven says to Shimon, "I want you to swear to me that during the whole time of the partnership, you didn't take any of the assets of the partnership more than what you were entitled to." So then Shimon would have to swear on the basis of that, even though Reuven is not making a tainas bari, he's only making a tainas shema. But nevertheless, that's enough to trigger a shema. What about, though, this is talking about when they're, so rather, this is talking about before they split up the partnership, but once the partners or the arisin have made their division, and then they didn't swear at that time, then he can no longer make them swear. The takana to make them swear is before they split up partnership or before the artist gets paid for his work with his percentage or whatever. But if there was a Gilgal Shavua, if at some later date the Reuven has a different reason to be Mashviya Shimon for some other claim, then he can also include this with Gilgal Shavua, some Gilgal and Olas HaKol, then we already include also the Gemara tells us in Kiddushin, we learn the concept of Gilgal Shavua from with a husband with his wife, a Soita, that primarily he's be swearing at her that she wasn't Mizana this time, together with this guy that he warned her against, but we learn from the him over there that he can also be swear her while he's at it about other similar times that she was in Mizana with another man or while she was in Arusa, etc. None of those are ones that he could bring her that he could bring her as a soita now, but once he's be swearing her as a soita, then he once the Kohen is be swearing her as a soita, he can already include such things. So we learn from that this concept of Gilgal Shavua, and therefore that's here also the claim that previously, when we were partners, I think you might have taken more of the assets of the partnership than you were supposed to. And therefore, I want you to swear that itself is not a strong enough claim to make a shavua, because it's already after they split up the partnership, but nevertheless, after the fact, it can include the Gilgal Shavua. We also touched on Gilgal Shavua earlier in our Masechta. We talked about that there's no shavua for claims involving karka, but if there's a shavua for claims involving the talpilin, then you can use Gilgal Shavua to include the one on karka as well. Okay. And the Mishnah finishes off one more thing. Vashvius mishametas is a shvur. Comes shmita if there's no prusbel, then not only does it cancel the loan, it also cancels any requirement to take a shvur. As we will see in the Gemara, as we will see in the Gemara, where we learn that from. Okay. So in other words, Rashi points out, the Rashi's on this photo of the Mishnah are printed later on Chesamah Beis. Rashi points out, we don't mean this, we're not referring back to the Shavuah of the partners or the Apaturupin or whatever. We just mean, in other words, that we're talking about a regular loan. So Reuven has previously lent money to Shimon. So not only would the loan itself be canceled by Shmita if there's no provable, but also even if Shimon was Chayav Shavuah, for example, later on he's Kofar Hakol, he wouldn't have, with Motiv Mitzvahs rather, he wouldn't have to swear a Shavuah either. As we'll see in the Gemara, why. Okay. So the Gemara starts off, Kol Nishboin Shabbatot Nishboin V'lem Shaman Minolon. This that we started in the Mishnah and said that whenever a person swears Minat Torah, he's only swearing in order to be potter, not in order to collect. Where do we know that from? The answer is Zomakra V'lokach V'olav V'lo Yishalom. Because the Pasuk says about a Shavua, in particular the context of the Shomer Sachar, it says the owner will take the Shavua and he, the Shomer, will not pay. Meaning, in other words, Misha Olav L'Shalem, the one who otherwise would have had to pay, the Shomer, Loi Shavua, he's the one who has to swear, and then once he swears, then he's Potter. So that applies to Shavuos HaShomerim, and once we have that, the Rimi Gash says, really, the Gemara didn't need to ask the question about a Shomer. It's very clear from the Pesukim that the Shomer swears. The point was, really, to ask how we know by Modu Mikdash and Eid Echad that also he swears and is Potter, rather than the other party swearing and collecting, and the answer is because when the Pesuk is v'lokach ba'olav v'lo yishalem, means that since by the shomer we already know that he swears on his own, so it means that modu mitzvah and eid echad is also the one who otherwise would have been chayev is the one who now swears in his potter. Well, the Mishnah had continued the Eilun Shvoyin Menotlan Chola, the following swear and collect, and we gave the list. The first one on the list was the socher, a worker who claims that he hasn't been paid yet. So they want to ask, Maishna Socher, the Takinu Le'Rabbanan, the Mishtam of a Shokul. Why is a Socher different that the Chachamim made him a Takana that he would swear and collect? Meaning, the question is, first of all, where are we even getting that there should be a Shavua? But even if there are, why should the worker, in other words, why should we make two distinctions over here? We should say that, number one, the question is, why are we b'chlal having a shavua over here? And if we are, why don't we model it on the shavua of the Torah and say that the balabas should be swearing and should be potter? Why did the Chachamim do over here that not only they created a shavua where there wasn't a shavua before, but they're actually putting it on the worker and they're saying that the worker can swear and collect? So we have two differences between the way it is daraisa. So why did the Chachamim do that? So the answer is, Omar of Yehuda Amar Shmuel, Halachas Gdolos Shanu Kan. So Rabbi Yehuda says in the name of Shmuel, the Chachamim made great halachas over here. So first, let's figure out what Rabbi Yehuda and what Shmuel are saying. Halachas, what do you mean halachas? Hanichin Chosaninu. Are these halachas? Halacha in Gemara terminology usually suggests halacha l'moshim Sinai. But these are not, these are takana of the Chachamim. So you're right, Ella Ema Takonis Gdolis Shanukan. You're right. When we say Halachas Gdolis, what we mean is Takonis Gdolis. Very weighty Takonis that the Chachamim say over here. Well, the question still is, Gdolis Lekal De'ichot Kanis, does that imply that there are lesser Takonis? All Takonis of the Chachamim are extremely important. So why are we calling these Takonis Gdolis as if to imply other Takonis of the Chachamim are less important than only this one is? Ella Amar of Nachman Amar Shmuel Takonis Kvuas Shanukan. You're right. We have to correct the wording and say that it's rather the Chachamim made fixed Takonis over here. In other words, it is true that, like this, we're doubly overriding what the Torah says. Number one, in the Torah, there's no concept of a Shavua in this case in the first place because he's Kofar Hakol. And number two, there certainly wouldn't be a Shavua to collect. Nevertheless, the Chachamim said that we have an important reason to make this Takana over here, and we're going to make it, even though that means on the face of it, overriding something of the Torah. The Chachamim uprooted and said, instead of the Balabais making the Shavua, instead we're going to impose it on the Socher. Mishum kdei chayav, because he has to earn a living. In other words, if the Balabais swears in his potter, that's all very nice, but you can't buy groceries, you can't pay rent or whatever with a Shavua. So therefore, in order for the worker to be able to make a living, then the Chachamim made a takana that once he swears, then he can collect. Okay, the question is, Mishum Kedechayev Vesocher Kansinim of the Bala Bahayas, is that a reason to penalize the Bala Bahayas and then say that the other guy should be able to swear? Still, why don't we say that the Bala Bahayas should, at most, fine, we can say that the Midat Torah, that wouldn't have been necessary, a Shavua at all. Some of the Rabbanon, we're going to say the Bala Bahayas has to take a Shavua rather than getting off scot-free. But to go to the extent of saying that now the worker can swear, and because of his say-so, the Bala Bahayas has to pay, what's the law there? And the answer is Bala Bayis Gufin Nichalei de Mishtava Sokhel Vishokhel. Because you can say that Bala Bayis himself, the Chacham evaluated that he himself would prefer this arrangement. Kihechi de Itagrun Leipoilin. This way, workers will be willing to work for him like this. In other words, if he can get away with a shavua that he paid them, then people are going to say, you know what, listen, we can't make a living off shavuas, so therefore we're not going to bother working for this guy in the future if we can't trust him to pay us. So therefore, instead, when they have the option now in Beis Din, we can swear and we can collect, and they're obviously going to swear, we assume they're going to swear only truthfully, because again, you know, of course there is the concern that they might swear falsely, but basically we're going to assume that they're after the whole warning that Beis Din gives them, as we learned earlier in the Masechta, we assume they're going to swear truthfully, and this way they know they always have an option to be able to collect in case they haven't gotten paid until now. Well, that's the question. Adarabah, on the contrary, you could argue sochem nichalei that the shtava balabayas for nifka. Maybe on the contrary, the worker would prefer to have the balabayas be able to swear so that the balabayas will be willing to hire him. Vice versa, you might have the concern the balabayas is going to say to himself, well, this guy is swearing falsely and collecting his pay double. So therefore, in the future, I don't want to hire such a person. And then there's going to go out a reputation on him that you can't trust him as a worker. And then therefore, he's not going to find jobs. So maybe Adarabah the Chachamim would prefer. So maybe Adarabha, the worker, would prefer that the Bala Bayis would swear. So how can we say it's just a matter of that the Bala Bayis prefers it in order that he'll be able to get work? Or as you could say, either one has reason that he should want to swear. So the answer is Bala Bayis al kochei ogar, because the Bala Bayis, no matter what, one way or the other, he has to get workers. So yes, he may say to himself, okay, it may happen once in a while, but I have to pay one of them double because we're going to have this kind of argument between us whether I paid him or not, and therefore there may be a case where he's going to swear and end up collecting, even though I claim that I already paid him. But you know what? I'm willing to take that chance because listen, after all, I'm always going to need workers. So the Gemara says, but you could argue the other way around as well. The fact is, the worker needs work. As well, he has to have money. He has to be able to earn money. So maybe we should say the other way around, that he's willing to take the chance that once in a while he might not get paid, in order that people will be willing to trust him and be willing to hire him, and generally he's going to get paid. So no matter how you go, one way or the other, you're going to argue that one of them has an interest in a certain in this takana, but you could argue the other one has an equal and opposite interest the other way around. So the Gemara says you're right. Ella, no, the reason is like this. Bala Bayis Torah B'Poyel. The Bala Bayis is busy with his workers. He has a lot of workers for him, so he has a lot of workers to pay. So therefore, he may mistakenly think that he paid one of them when he didn't. So it's not necessarily, in other words, that he's deliberately trying to deny him his pay, because he mixed him up with somebody else. Different explanation, actually, is that the Lavush explains that since you do have the mitzvah, the Yom Tikkun Sfarai, the Bala Bayis knows he has to pay the worker on the same day that he finished the work, and therefore he's totaled with that. He's busy getting together the money in order to pay them. So whatever the case, he may overlook one. So Tosfos points out, now, once we make the takana, then we're going to say, loy plug, we're not going to distinguish how many workers the Bala Bayis has. We're going to say across the board that he's always the worker can take a shavua. Tosfos brings from the Yerushalmi that another point is, even if he doesn't have a lot of workers, he has a lot of businesses and whatever, and therefore he's also, he tends to be busy, and he tends to be able to more easily lose track of things. Okay, so the Gemara asks, in that case, v'leisav le'beloi shavua. In that case, then why should there even be a shavua at all? If we have good reason to assume that the Bala Bayis got mixed up, then we should say that there shouldn't have to be a shavua in the first place. So, uh, And in other words, Tosfos says, in other words, the point is that because the fact that the fact is it's the equivalent of a case, for example, where Reuven says to Shimon, "You owe me a mana," and Shimon says, "I don't know." So then he's going to be chayev because he's chayev a shvur, but he can't swear. So why over here shouldn't we say, "Well, listen, the Balabais can't swear because he doesn't know for sure because he's got a lot of workers and all." So whatever, we should just say there should be no shvur at all, and he should have to pay the worker. Why are we making the worker swear in that case? So the one answer is the Balabais in order to appease the Balabais. The Balabais, as far as he's concerned, is not making a mistake. He doesn't believe that he's making a mistake. As far as he knows, he really did pay this worker and genuinely believes that. So he's going to think. So if we don't force there to be a shvur, then he's going to think that he's been wronged in judgment. Okay. So the Gemara says, "Valesiv lebe edim." If that's the whole reason, Tosfos points out, "Oymid v'tseveach shapara." He's literally standing over there and screaming, "I paid him." So we don't want to make him think, you know what? Listen, the Beis Din doesn't know what they're doing, and they're not being fair. So therefore, fine, let the worker take a shavua, and that way, at least the Balabais will feel better about it. Okay. So the question is, so why do we need that? Why a shvur then? Why don't we just make that when the Balabais pays the worker, he has to pay him with Aidim. And then that way, then no shvur will be necessary. After all, we would rather avoid a shvur if we can. And the answer is tircha le'mil. So that would be a big tircha every time he needs to pay the worker. He's going to have to find Aidim, so the chum didn't want to have to make such a chakana. All right, so you want to ask v'leisiv le'meikra, why don't we instead make the takana that the Balabais should pay the worker ahead of time? So let's make the takana that he has to pay him in the morning when the guy first shows up for work, and then that way, so now if he first claims in the evening, "You didn't pay me, what are you talking about? So I always pay my workers before when they first come to the job, and therefore I paid you now. And I paid you then, and now you're claiming that it's after the fact and it's too late. Why don't we make the takana that way?" And the answer is Shnei and Reutz and Bahakafa. Both of them would prefer actually to have it this way, that they should be outstanding and it should be paid only at the end of the job. The Balabais may not have money available on the spot. And the worker wants to, if he has it during the day, he may fritter it away. Instead, he's going to let him be paid in a lump sum in the evening, and that way he'll take it directly home and he'll use it to support his family. So the Chacham did not want to make a takana that he should have to pay him first thing in the morning because neither one would want such a thing. All right, the Gemara asks, "Ihochi, well, if you're going to tell me that the reason behind this takana is because the Balabais has a lot of workers and is busy with them and he may have forgotten which ones he paid and which ones not, and therefore, because of that, we're saying, on the other hand, the worker has more reason to be certain that he wasn't paid. Then shouldn't the din apply, even if they're arguing about how much was arranged for the payment? In other words, till now, we've been talking about the worker is saying that I wasn't paid at all, and the Balabai says I paid you. But you can instead have an argument between them. What was the rate supposed to be? The rate per hour or whatever? Or per job? Alamatanya, yet, so why is it we learn in a Braisa? Umen Omer Stein Katsasali. The craftsman says that we arranged that you were going to pay me 2 zuz per job or per hour or whatever. And the Balabai says I arranged only 1. Then the dinat hamotzi machaveh olavaraya. So now we would have to bring a proof. So why? If we're saying that the Balabais may be mistaken because he's busy with his workers, then fine. He may have easily mixed up. He thinks he arranged one dinner per hour with this one, where really it was a different worker that he arranged that with, and this one is 2 dinner per hour. So why don't we make a shavua in that case also? Why don't we say hamotzi mechaveh olavaraya? And the answer is because when they establish a price, then a person is more likely to remember that kind of thing. So now, in particular, the Ritva points out, it's one thing in the evening when he's busy paying his workers, yeah, it's easy to confuse which one he paid and which one he didn't. But in the morning, when the guy first comes to work and then they have to establish a price at that time, so then he's dealing with him one-on-one, he's more likely to remember what he made up. Um, So, in fact, Tosfos says this case over here of Kotzatz would be in a way similar to, in a way, it's like Moedim Mitzvahs. It's like one person saying you owe me 100 and the other one saying that I owe you only 50 and the other one, I don't know. But in this case, what we're saying is instead of outright Mishalim, we're saying Hamotzi Mechavei Levarayim. So to be exact, Tosfos says actually what would happen is in that case, because if the worker can bring proof that he's supposed to be paid too, then good. Otherwise, the Baal HaBayis will in fact take a shavua, and the worker will lose out. So therefore, that would be the case. Okay, so the Gemara says, Ihochi. Now, again, if you're going to say the reason behind the takana, why the worker should be able to swear and collect, is because Baal HaBayis Torah B'Poyolov, the Baal HaBayis is busy with his workers and may have forgotten that he didn't pay this one. If you're going to say that's the reason, then it should apply. After the Ovar's money, then it should apply, even if the time already passed. Now, the Torah tells us you have to pay a worker, the Yoy Matitin Schore, there's two different psukim about it in Parshas Mishpatim, and in Kiseitse, and in Bav Metzia, we learned that there's a difference between the one pasuk is referring to a day worker and the other one to a night worker. In either case, the Torah grants the Baal HaBayis one oina, 12-hour period after the work is over, before he pays him. So, for example, a worker who works for him all day, then until Shvia, then he has, or until Tzeis HaKachavim, whatever, then he has until Alois HaShachar to pay him, and vice versa, if he worked for him all night, then he has until Shvia the next day to pay him. But this concept that we're saying over here, that the worker can swear and can collect, is only the Torah's manner. But if you're going to tell me it's a matter of Baal HaBayis Torah B'Poyolov, the Baal HaBayis is busy with his workers, after the over is manu nami, then the same thing should apply even after that deadline is over. Alom Atanya, well, why do we learn in a B'Layis? The over is manu, v'loy nosanoy. If the time passed and the worker says he hasn't been paid, tadreza in initiative benotol, then already at that point he cannot swear and collect. And at that point, if anything, the Baal HaBayis would swear and be potter. So why is that? And the answer is chazaka in Baal HaBayis over Baal Tolin. Because we have a chazaka, the Baal HaBayis is not going to be over on this issue of Baal Tolin. The Torah strictly warns you don't leave the pay overnight, so don't beyond the deadline. So therefore, we have a chazaka that the Baal HaBayis is a frum yid, and he's going to be careful with that and not be over on that. Shows the high level that a yid was on in those times, maybe even nowadays, I guess, I don't know, that we can assume a yid is not going to knowingly be over an aver. So the Gemara asks, Amit Baal HaBayis Torah B'Poyolov. Wait, we said that Baal HaBayis is busy with his workers, so therefore, he thinks he's not over. He genuinely thinks he paid this guy. He doesn't realize that he hadn't. So what do you mean Chazaka, he's not going to be over? He doesn't think he is over. And the answer is Hanimil Mikamin Yulinti's man Chiyuva. Sure, before the time of the Chiyuv comes, he's not yet over on anything, then he's going to think that he paid. He Moti's man Chiyuva. But when it comes the time of the Chiyuv, and now he's about to be over on an Avera, Romya Nafshu Midko, then he puts it to mind and starts thinking to himself, wait, did I actually pay him or not? And then therefore, at that point, if he doesn't pay him, then we have good reason to think that he in fact did pay him, and therefore, and now we can't have the socher take a shvua anymore, because now we would say it's much more likely if the Baal HaBayis actually owed him, then by now we would have made sure to remember. So Tosfos asks still in that case, then why do we have the shvua in the first place? Why don't we just say wait until the next day, and if the Baal HaBayis remembers, then good, and if not, then the socher is going to have to bring a raya. And anyway, why do we not make the Baal HaBayis take a shavua? You could say by the same token, if he has to take a shavua, then he's going to force himself to remember whether he paid. So Tosfos answers, first of all, once he already said that, no, I already paid you, he's not going to be so quick to be moida. He's not going to try to remember so quickly, because he doesn't want Beistin or the worker to think that he's a liar. Also, Tosfos points out, you have to really have two chazakas together. You have to have a chazaka, as the Gemara is going to point out, that the worker is not going to delay demanding his pay, and number two, that the Baal HaBayis is not going to want to be over on Baal Tolin. If he were to tell him, you haven't paid me yet, if Beistin were to tell him, you know what, wait till tomorrow, and then at that point, if he hasn't paid you, then we'll make him take a shvur, et cetera, then we don't really have those two chazokas together. There's no delay over there, and therefore, so it wouldn't work. So, So the Gemara continues. So the question is, v'chisocher over mishum bal tigzol. Okay, but the same way as you say in the balabayas, he's not going to be over on bal tolin, and therefore we can assume he's going to pay his worker within the deadline. By the same token, the socher himself is not going to be over on the issue of gezel. So therefore, so we have good reason to say that if he's demanding his pay, means he hasn't actually been paid yet. Tosfos points out, now to be sure, if the boss doesn't pay him, then he's also over on Lois Sigzel, but still people don't think of it as Lois Sigzel. By the there would be actually two lavim involved, Lois Sigzel and Lois Solin, and therefore, but people don't think of that as Lois Sigzel. People think of that as just the issue of Baltolin. So the answer is Gabi Balabais. That's the answer. Gabi Balabais. If a tre choski, when it comes to the Balabais, there are two chazokas. Choda de eno Balabais over Baltolin. Number one, the Balabais is not going to want to be over on the issue of Baltolin. Choda de ein socher mashes sore, and the other one, the socher, is not going to want to delay his pay. He's not going to want to delay getting paid. He wants to get paid as soon as possible. As opposed to the socher, has only one chazaka in his favor, namely that once he already received it, he's not going to want to be over on Bal Tigzol and collect again. So therefore, so now the Balabais' claim is stronger. So therefore, so once it's after the time, and the Balabais will have already been over, if he hadn't in fact paid, he would have already been over on Lois Solin, on Bal Tolin, and we assume that he wouldn't have done that, then therefore he has strong chazokas in his favor that he would have already paid, as opposed to at that point, after the time, the socher only has one chazoka in his favor, namely he's not going to claim this to the pay, he's not going to claim double pay for the same thing, and therefore at that point already it's too late for him to swear. But during and before that time, then yes, we do have the tachana of the chachamim that he should swear and he should collect. Okay. The Gemara continues, Amar Rav Nachman HaMashmol, Lo Shanu Ela Shesachar Ge'edim. All of this is only talking about where the worker was hired in the presence of Edim. So now, in other words, we have Edim that he said, come do work for me today and I'll pay you. But if he hired him not in the presence of Edim, then he has a migui. Since he could say that I never hired you, and therefore obviously he's part of a pain, instead he has a migui to say, I did hire you, but I did already pay you your pay. So then we wouldn't have the sakana of the socher paying. Now, Tosfos points out that a nigger is only a nigger is to say that he's not deliberately lying, but over here the fact is the whole point we've been saying all this time is he thinks he paid and really he didn't. So what is a nigger relevant over here? So Tosfos says, because the fact is, he's saying that if it was a tiny shema, then it's one thing. But he's not saying I think I paid you. He's saying I'm certain that I paid you. I didn't forget at all. So we can't assume that he's lying. Why? Because he has a migri. If there's no migri, then the fact is we might say that he might have forgotten. So that's what the migri accomplishes. And the Rashba brings another point as well. He says based on something from Rabbi Goin says that a migri doesn't really, obviously as we know, a migri doesn't clarify things for sure. It's just the whole point is this whole thing is a takana of chachamim. So when we have reason to trust the balabais, then the chachamim's takana wouldn't apply in the first place, and then we would just leave things as it is in the din tara motzi mechaver levadaya. Omer Rabbi Yitzchak, so Rabbi Yitzchak said, so Rabbi Nachman Yishar, very good, well said, v'chein Omer Rabbi Yechanan, and Rabbi Yechanan said the same thing. Now, so we have, the Gemara asks, as we had a similar kind of discussion a few dafim ago, the Miklal, the Poligalei Rish Lakish, does that imply the fact that he says, so said Rabbi Yechanan, does that imply that Rish Lakish disagreed with that point? So there's a different version. So yes, Rabbi Yitzchak did not know whether Rish Lakish disagreed with that point. And we have, as we had a few dafim ago, we had two different versions in the Gemara, why it is that Rabbi Yitzchok didn't know. Ikka da'amri mishtav ashosile v'shosikle. Some say that at that time Rish Lakish was taking a drink and therefore he didn't respond. And then at that point Rabbi Yitzchok left the Beis Medrash, so he didn't know whether after Rish Lakish had finished taking his drink, whether he had responded to Rabbi Yechonon. We talked about then also an explanation that maybe what it means is because he was taking a drink, therefore he was turned in a different direction, and therefore he didn't hear what Rabbi Yechonon had said. So Rish Lakish, so Rabbi Yitzchok might say, it's possible that Rish Lakish argued on it, but I don't know for sure, but I do know that Rabbi Yechonon said, like what you're saying. Another version is that Rish Lakish was waiting, he would wait until Rabbi Yechonon finished speaking, and then he would raise his objections, and Rabbi Yitzchok left meanwhile, and he didn't know whether in this case Rish Lakish actually objected. So therefore he's only saying, I know that Rabbi Yechonon says this, he can't say for sure that Rish Lakish said it as well, because he doesn't know. So in any case, the point is that Rabbi Yitzchok is saying to Rabbi Nachman, you should know Rabbi Yochanan said the same thing as you, that where there's a migui, namely where there were no edim, and he hired him in the first place, then therefore we don't have this Shavuos HaSachar. So the Gemara says, Itzmar Nami, they said also, Amar Rabbi Nachshi Bazvid Amar Rab, was Shana Allah Shasachar Be'edim, this din is only when he hired him in the presence of edim, Aval Sachar Shalai Be'edim, but if he hired him not in the presence of edim, since he has a migur, you could say, I never hired you. Then instead, we would believe him to say that I did hire you, but I gave you your pay. So the Gemara continues. Rami Bahama says, how wonderful, how great is this teaching, this statement that there's a difference between whether he has a migur or not. So Rava says to him, what's so great about it? By that logic, then, how would it ever be possible for there to be a shvuas hashreminin that the Torah, and the Torah clearly says that there's going to be a shvua, where again, Reuven has deposited something for safekeeping with Shimon. Later on, there's gneva, veda, onus, whatever the different cases of the different shreminin, what they're chayiv and potter. And we say that the shreminin has to take a shvua, and then he's potter. By the same logic, you have to have the same kind of migui. If there were no edim when he was masked by him, then the shomer could say, you never deposited anything with me for safekeeping. Then instead he'd be able to say an ones, and we would believe him without a shvua. The fact that the Torah requires him a shvua, means we can't apply a migui in this case. So an interesting point though that Rishonim bring up is, wait a minute, what exactly is Tosfos brings up, other Rishonim bring up, what exactly is Rava's question? It's not like Shmuel and Rabbi Yochanan came up with a concept of Nigri on their own. The concept of Nigri applies in that Torah. So what is Rava's question? Well, we see that the Torah requires a shvuah. Therefore, that shows there's no migri. Then that would destroy the whole concept of migri. And then obviously Rava is not going to go that far. So there's a number of different points in it. Tosfos explains that, you know what, it's one thing when you have, consider, for example, so you have, there's two tainus. Each one of them requires a certain ha'oza. Each of them requires a certain brazenness to make a claim that the to make a claim that 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 to make the claim. So in other words, the whole concept of migri is I claim this, but instead of I could have claimed that. But Tosfos points out that if the other claim would have required more ha'oza, then he might be afraid to do that. Einon amei is a person in the same way as we learned before, that by kofar hakol, einon amei is ponim, afnei ba'al chovot, and therefore migri doesn't apply the same way over here then. So now, if he's gonna say that I paid you, then fine. You know, the worker may think to himself, you know what, I'll be down the class supposed to listen. You know, he's busy with his workers. He may not realize that he didn't pay me. I'm not going to consider him a blatant liar about that, as opposed to go so far as to say, I never hired you in the first place, where the other guy would know that that's certainly false. He wouldn't have the ha'oza to do that. So therefore, Rava is asking then, how are you applying a migui over here? The fact is, we see by the Shemunim the same kind of thing. In other words, that we see the Torah is not that there's no concept of a migra at all. At least we see where there's a migra da'aza to say that he could have done a more brazen-faced claim. He's not going to do that, and therefore the Torah says there's no migra over here. So why wouldn't it be the same thing over here? Then the Rimi Gash explains that a migra only patters him from mammon, doesn't patter him from a shvur. So it's one. So fine. We can understand why it is by shemunim. Therefore, why there has to be a shvur. But fine. The question is, why shouldn't the Baal HaBayis have to take a shvur? Originally, after all, the original kind of thing should have been that the Baal HaBayis should have taken a shvur, and we only put it on the worker instead, because like we said, the Baal HaBayis may have more reason to be mistaken, but nevertheless, we're still saying that why are we saying that both of them are potter, that why are we saying there's no shvur at all, because the Baal HaBayis has a migri, at least in that case, we should make the Baal HaBayis have to swear. So here the Rimi Gash is saying, in other words, that you can't do a migri to patter a person from a shvur. That itself is a big controversial thing among the Rishonim, whether in fact that is so. And then the Ritzvah and the Ran give a different explanation that Rava figure is to patter a person. Yeah, you know, never mind migri to ha'oza, like Tosfos is saying, but that would be to patter him from paying money. But to patter him from paying from a shvur, you need a stronger migri than that. So the question is, if we're allowing by a worker, we're saying even a migri d'ha'oza, you're telling us Ramban Bachama and you're telling us Shmuel and Rabbi Yochanan that here we would accept even a migri d'ha'oza. We would say a migri that the Baal HaBayis could have claimed, I didn't hire you at all, which is a much more brazen-faced thing to say, and yet we would believe him. Then why is it by the Shemunim? Why don't we say the same thing? So in other words, according to all these answers, we're not asking that there should be no migri at all, but at least that the scope of migri should be much more should be much narrower than we always think. So the answer is afkid by the edim. Fine. So in the case of the shvur of the shomrim, we're talking about he was mafkid in front of edim. So now there's no migri. Well, the Gemara says, in that case, still he has a migri. He could have said, I return to you. Still he could say, I return to you the thing. So by the same logic, he should be able to say nansu. And he should still have a migri. So the answer is, after the bishtara. Fine, we could talk about that he actually wrote out a shtar saying that he deposited the thing with him. And therefore there's no migri anymore, because as long as there's a shtar over here, then it means that the pikkudin is still outstanding. Is that in fact the case? I mean, we don't find any place else in Shas this kind of thing that shvuras hashomrim requires edim or shtar. The Rishonim have a long discussion about that. One thing is again that you'd say it's not really a true migri, the shvuras shachar, it's just a konas hachamim. So therefore, in other words, the would say whenever there's any kind of migri, then we're not going to apply the shvuras shachar. We don't need a full fledged migri, just some kind, as opposed to when it comes to shemunim, then we would require a full fledged migri, and therefore you don't necessarily have any. Again, I chose to say for him to say, I never received any pekodin at all. We migri to ha'aza, and therefore not necessarily are we going to do that. So the Gemara says, "Mekhlal the Tavayu Svir Lahu." Now the implication seems to be that both Rami Bahama and Rava hold a mafkid. It's a chaver be'edim and sorach lahachzir loy be'edim. It sounds like if a person gave a person a pikkudin with edim, he doesn't have to return it to him in the presence of edim. B'shtar, tzorach lahachzir loy be'edim, but if he gives it to him with a shtar, it sounds like they both agree that he does have to give it to him with edim, or else return the shtar, as the case would be. The Gemara says, "Komik kori rama v'chama al leidir of sheshes v'yosim dover es advarim eila b'libori." So Rami Bachama referred to, we're going to see that Rav Sheshes holds similarly, and so Rami Bachama applied to Rav Sheshes, like the pasuk says, David placed these matters in his heart, meaning he realized that, the context is where he ran away to the land of the Plishtim, he's by Ochish Melech Gas, and the Plishtim are accusing him, this is the guy who killed Goliath, we want to get at him, and David put it to heart, and realized that he's in trouble, and that was when he davened to Hashem to make him crazy. The David So in other words, you don't have a chomer saying, but Sheish has also carefully investigated and looked in, or is this that we said so far, that Rav and Shmuel are saying about this din of the difference between whether he hired him with Edim or not. And we said that Rav, Shmuel, and Rabbi Yochanan are all saying this point. So Rav Sheish has carefully investigated Braisis and found the same thing, and found the same thing to be so. Namely, how do we see that? The Ashkel said, Rav Sheish, the Rav Bar Shmuel. Rav Sheish one time met up with Rav Bar Shmuel. Amar Tony Ma Midi B'Sacher. He asked him, Rebbe, did you learn anything particular about these dinim of Sacher? Any particular Mishnah or Braisa that I should know about. Omalei, so he tells him, Ein, yes, Tanena, I learned a Braisa. Socher bismana nishba the noto. The Socher swears only during the time, as we said, before the deadline, before the Balabais had to pay him. And then he gets and he collects. Kate said, what does he mean? Bisman sha omalai schartani, where he says, you hired me vlanasati li schari, but you didn't give me my pay. Va'alloim was schartiha vlanasati lachaschara, and the other one says, I did hire you, but I already paid you. So then he said that the socher swears and collects. Aval omal is stein chatzatzali, but as we said at the top of the omur, if the socher says, you arranged for me that I'm gonna get two dinner per hour, va'alloim ala chatzatzali lachal achas, and the other one says, and the balabai says, I arranged only one, amoitz mechavela v'raya, then there's no shavua, and then there's amoitz mechavela v'raya, and he has to bring edim or whatever. So Rav Sheish points out, how much safer, Raya Havi, since the Sefer has to be talking about where they have to bring a Raya, Reisha v'loy Raya, then evidently the Reisha is talking about if there's no Raya, and a shavua is enough. So therefore, it seems, not like Rav and Shmuel that they're talking about, that our Mishnah is talking about when does he swear, Dafko and there were Edim, because it sounds like the ratio of this Braisa is talking about there were no Edim, that he hired him in the first place. But the Gemara says, Amar Nachman, Reisha v'Seifa b'Raya. No, because both the Reisha and the Seifa of that Braisa would be talking about there has to be some kind of Raya. The difference is, what kind of Raya are we talking about? Raya de l'shalom katoni, Raya de shavua l'katoni. We're only talking about the Braisa is only focusing what kind of Raya does he have to pay, does he have to bring that would require the Balabais to pay. So then, and the Reisha was saying, shavua is enough, and the Seifa was saying, he would have to bring an actual Raya, he'd have to bring actual Edim that they arranged two dinner per hour. But a Raya to trigger or the Shavua in the first place, that Braisa is not meant that there should be the concept where the Socher is going to swear loy katani, so therefore the Braisa didn't bother mentioning that. But that doesn't show that there doesn't have to be some kind of Raya, like we said so far, that there has to be at least Raya that he hired him in the presence of Edim in the first place, that now therefore we know he was hired. Okay, so we'll continue that discussion tomorrow, Beis Hashem, with more details about that, as far as kotzats and as far as all these dinim about a sucker swearing and collecting and when he does and when he doesn't.